السلام عليك beseech you, I will grieve you into the night.
I will beseech you, I will grieve you into the night. You are my master, I am alone, I call unto you. You are my master, I am alone, I call unto you.
Because I will be with you till the end, Hussein. In my eyes there's always tears of pain.
Like a river flows for your love, Hussein. Every broken heart cries out your name, cries out your name.
وقلبي لديك صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله.
وقلبي لديك صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another live edition on iRib English Radio with me, Atta, the host of this program. I extend my sincerest condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Please stay tuned with this live edition for about 1 hour.
Gives meaning to my soul. To you are is my hands and call.
From your shrine I can't bear to stay apart. The flame of your love ignites my heart. Your name gives meaning to my soul. To you I raise my hands and
welcome back. You're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. This is the sixth day of the month of Muharram, a rather different month of Muharram for the nation of Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, the axis of resistance all across the world, since we have missed our dear leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, so many of our dear military commanders, civilians, beautiful souls, schoolgirls and boys of Minab. So this Muharram and this Ashura will be a different one. For today's discussion, we want to talk about the School of Ashura and its manifestation in the recent imposed war against Islamic Republic of Iran. I am joined here by two guests, Sayyid Mahdi and Sayyid Mudarrisi. Sayyid Mahdi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for
welcome
having us.
Welcome to the show. And Sayyid Mudarrisi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me as well. Great to be with you.
So, this year in the month of Muharram, wherever you go to the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you hear different names of the martyrs that we have missed during the imposed war. I mean, the military commanders, our dear leader, the schoolgirls and boys of Minab, so many civilians, so many nuclear scientists, and the people of Iran this year, in fact, are experiencing a rather different type of Muharram. I mean, Muharram somehow looks fresh to the eyes of the Iranians this year. Because what we have seen in the narratives and the stories of Ashura and Imam al-Hussein movement now is before our eyes. So many families in Iran somehow experience what took place in Karbala 61 AH and what oppression today the Iranian people has endured during all these imposed war. I mean, 12-day war and what is known as the Ramadan war, in which we missed our dear leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The School of Ashura is over there and its manifestation in today's Iran. So let's talk a little bit about the definition of the School of Ashura. Sayyid Mudarrisi, let's start with you. Okay. What do you mean exactly by the School of Ashura?
Well, let me as well to extend my sincere, actually, condolences on the sorrowful days and morning nights of this, as you said, refreshed Muharram. So I would say the school of Ashura, the first thing we have to notice is that we do not look at it as a something historical.
Yes.
Of course, it was a historical event, but it should not be confined to the year 61 after Hijrah. So, as you said, it is an enduring ideological, educational, and practical program for each of us. And that's why you said each of us are looking at Muharram this year as something refreshed, something renewed, mm-hmm. or reused in our context today. So this school, the school of Ashura, is teaching us as humans, is teaching the humanity as human beings that living under the yoke of oppression is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I think naturally we, specifically everyone living in Iran, feels sometimes more or less inside himself or herself,
yes.
that living under this yoke is impossible.
Yes.
And this oppression is not to be actually accepted.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And not only the people of Iran, but the whole world. I mean, because this is very much a kind of humanitarian value embedded in the nature and the very soul
of human
beings.
And even more than that.
Yes,
even more.
Of the human beings. I mean, this is why, for example, when all this oppression against the people of Iran and the Palestine took place, we could see so many non-Muslims coming to the scene, and then they are talking about the values, that these values are very much highlighted in Imam al-Hussein's movement. So Imam al-Hussein and the school of Ashura, Sayyid Mahdi, is for all. I mean, we cannot limit it to a specific region or denomination or religion, is better to call it. Am I right?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, again, our condolences upon these months of Muharram Safar, where we commemorate the martyrdom anniversaries of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his family members, his companions. And yes, this year, as compared to previous years, we feel the loss of Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei as well, who was for 37 or so years the leader of the Islamic Revolution and a very important figure in guiding the resistance movements against the forces of evil and falsehood. This idea that Ashura and the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not only eternal, but it is global, is a very important point to note. Just like the Holy Quran, you find many of the verses of the Holy Quran, it says, Ya ayyuhan nas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an invitation to all of humanity. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, similarly, his movement is for all of humanity. And it's interesting, you will find a lot of non-Muslims also benefit from the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
That's it. So recently, Vice President of the United States of America, Vance, has said that if Iranians change their behaviors, there will be a kind of compromise or reconciliation in our ties with Islamic Republic of Iran. I mean, changing the behaviors of Islamic Republic of Iran, it means to neglect all these Husseini values in terms of resistance against the Epstein class. And this is something impossible. I mean, I think that because some countries try to normalize their ties with Israel, maybe United States of America think that Iran would do so. I mean, normalize the ties with Israel, the child killer, you know, the Epstein class, the pedophiles, the United States of America and Israel. And this is impossible because Husseini values do not let you to do so. If you are going to shake hands with the enemies of Islam and the enemies of humanity, you will become a part of them, okay? So that's why they will have, we can't say, put you in the category of the Epstein class too. So the Iranians and the Shia Muslims, in terms of the Husseini values, will never change their behaviors, will never, we can say, bow down to a hegemonic power like United States of America and its allies in the region. And this comes, now comes the major question that, so what is that system of values, when we are talking about the values in the Ashura, school of thought and Imam al-Hussein movement, what values are exactly enumerated for such a system, Sayyid Mudarrisi?
I think the elaboration of what you just said is the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that indeed I do not see death except as salvation and living with these tyrants except as a disgrace. I mean, in this battlefield that you portrayed the picture of, you're either with the truth or against the truth. There is no third side in this place. So that's what can be understood from the concept of Ashura. One of the main things, one of the most important characteristics of this school of thought of Ashura is this insight, is this basira, as we can say it.
Yes.
Because what does it mean to have insight? Insight means to have a very deep and sensible and palpable understanding of what is the wrong side and what is the truth side. Who are these fighting for and who are these fighting against?
Yes.
To understand these sides and actually to apply it into your real life context is one of the most important things in our lives, and this is what Ashura has
taught. So, even passive understanding of the Ashura values might not work well because you have to practically apply it in your life.
Exactly. I mean, the ones who are there are some people who are actually trying to stick to the school of Ashura thought, but they are not trying to mention the different embodiments today.
Yes, yes.
And that is not true.
I think
you have to talk about them.
Okay.
The evil at that time was such and such, Yazid and Muawiyah and such and such for the different imams.
Yes.
But now for our time, you have to mention them. You have to make them known to the people. Mm-hmm. And you have to, as you said, the Epstein class is one of them. And you have to make the others known to the people as well.
We have, again, three groups of people. Some people are defending the rights of the oppressed, like Islamic Republic of Iran, like Palestine, the people of Yemen. You know, Ansarullah, Hezbollah, okay, all these groups, you know, who are defending the rights of the oppressed all across the world. The others are the aggressors and the oppressors, United States of America and its allies, Israel. And still there is a third important group, Sayyid Shahriar, the silent guys. I mean, I call them accomplice, okay? In a kind of silence complicity, they are only watching. I call them very much modern kufans, okay? The people who has invited Hussein, you know, to the battlefield to come to their city and, you know, to accept the rulership, but all of a sudden left him alone. I mean, these modern kufans that we are seeing today, whose bases were used against Islamic Republic of Iran in the region, again, are acting as the kufans on that time. So it seems that the core of the Husseini values was not understood well even by some Muslims, Sayyid Shahriar.
Yeah, I agree that many, or at least some of the Muslims, did not fully understand the lessons and teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his movement. But you kind of have to make a differentiation between the people of these nations and the leaders of these nations. And the leaders of these nations, they're not just kufans. I think they're hypocrites. They're munafiqeen, if not borderline mushrikeen. So in some respects, the kufans were better than these individuals because, you know, at least the kufans had the basira at one point in time to invite Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then they became afraid. These people right from the beginning have invited Yazid into their homes and into their backyards and built military bases. So
with the girls waving their hair.
And so, but I think the nations of these countries, they're a different story. I think the nations of these countries will also eventually rise up when they see the...
But the nations are influenced by the decisions made by their governments very much.
Sometimes. So, for example, Bahrain, you'll see there's a huge population of Shias that are incredibly oppressed. They're not influenced by the decisions of their leaders. If you look at, you know, UAE, perhaps. But if you look at the various different countries, the nations slowly will start to wake up. I did want to comment on one thing. You talked about J.D. Vance and his rhetoric of saying that Islamic Republic of Iran needs to change its behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it's something that Donald Trump also kind of says regularly. He says that, you know, they've been bad people for the last 47 years along these lines. So, you know, whenever they say these kind of things, we have to understand, what do you mean by behaviors? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we doing which we need to change? So off the top of my head, I thought, so the behaviors of the Islamic Republic of Iran are independence. They want political independence. They want economic independence. They want self-determination. They want freedom. They want to be able to make their own decisions in their own countries. They don't want foreign interference. These are all positive behaviors. None of these are negative behaviors. Yes. You know, what are these people doing wrong, going for national honor? Mm-hmm. And Sayyid Ali Khamenei Shahid, he said something really interesting. He said that it's not about the nuclear issue. It's not about human rights or women's rights. These are all excuses. The fundamental issue that they have is that they want to devour the Islamic Republic of Iran. They want its resources. They want its oil, its gas, its minerals. They want its human resources. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, they want the Islamic Republic to submit and yield. And no nation, this is exactly what Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us, is that we do not, a human being with free will does not submit or yield to forces of evil. And any human being will agree to that, that why should we yield and submit to hegemonic powers?
So is it reached only through war or negotiation? We get to this important question too, because we have to see, is the honor of a nation, as you call it, the nation of Islamic Republic of Iran and the whole resistance movement, is it observed through negotiation or only war with the enemies of Islam? Thank you very much, Sayyid Mehdi and Sayyid Mudarrisi. Till now, dear listeners, you're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. The Majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam this year has a different color, since the name of our rahbar is juxtaposed with the adjective shaheed. And we cannot believe it still that we missed and we lost our dear leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the man who has always emphasized in the majalis and the morning ceremonies of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Let's take a break, listen to his words, and then we'll continue our discussion.
مجالس ما مجالس حسینی یعنی مجالس ضد ظلم مجالس ضد سلطه.
Our gatherings must be Husseini gatherings, gatherings against oppression, gatherings against monarchy, gatherings against Shims, Yazids, and Ibn Ziyads of the present time, the current age. And this is the continuation of Imam Hussein's story.
Welcome back. You're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio, the sixth day of the month of Muharram. And this month of Muharram is a different one in the Islamic Republic of Iran. We are impatiently waiting for the funeral ceremony of our Shaheed Rahbar, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, which is going to be held in Islamic Republic of Iran, the cities of Tehran, Qom, Mashhad, and according to some guesses, you know, in Iraq too, the whole cities of Najaf and Karbala. What a burial ceremony and what a funeral ceremony, inshallah, for our Shaheed Rahbar to be taken to the holy city of Mashhad and buried over there. Sayyid Mudarrisi and Sayyid Mehdi are over here, and we are discussing the modern manifestation of the school of Ashura in today's world. Let's get, I would like to link it very much to today's Iran, and a memorandum of understanding was remotely signed between Islamic Republic of Iran and United States of America. Donald Trump signed it in the Versailles Palace in France, Pezeshkian in his office in Islamic Republic of Iran, in 14 articles. So some say that the resistance sometimes show itself and the is manifested through negotiations. Let others say that no, it is only war and battles with the Epstein class can tell them the true story, what's the true story and who is the boss. Do you think that both methods and both methodologies are applicable in today's world against the enemies of Islam and the oppressors of the world, Sayyid Mudarrisi?
Well, I think going by actually sticking to our topic that we were discussing.
Yes, the movement.
One of the characteristics of this Ashura is resistance and steadfastness.
Yes.
So this Ashura-style resistance is something that means standing firm by your faith, by your dialogue, by your ideas, and by your principles, even under total economic, political, and any kind of sanctions, yes, any kind of hardships, even psychological siege. And this characteristic demonstrates that being outnumbered is never a justification.
Yes.
So what I think is that we need to tell the people of the world to leave aside this kind of materialistic calculations.
Mm-hmm.
So when you leave this out, you will be able to see more. You will be able to use another kinds of glasses,
yes,
to see the world. You see, one of the reasons you said I see many people who are the third class,
yes,
or the silent class, yeah, that you call them accomplice. You see, what I see the problem as the problem here in this case is what Imam said. Annas abidu dunya. The people are the slaves in the world, slaves of the world. يحوطونهُ, and elsewhere he said, يحوطونهُ ما درت معايشهم.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like this. They gather around the religion just for the sake that their lives is being provided for.
Yes.
As soon as something happens in their lives that their ma'ish, that their aish, that their,
yes,
lives,
yes,
face a problem, they just leave the religion and, mm-hmm, its symbols aside.
Okay.
So you see,
especially when it is we are talking about the resistance and resilience, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the,
okay,
same. So you,
yeah,
see, this is what Ashura style thinking and, mm-hmm, thought tells us and teaches us. You have to stick to your principles.
Mm-hmm.
You of course it means facing a lot of problems. Of course it means a lot of enmity. Of course it means a lot of hardships in your lives. But are you like the people who, mm-hmm, will leave, just like the Kufans,
right,
who will leave their imams and wilaya and,
all
leadership,
right,
when they face difficulties?
Okay.
That's the point.
Okay, that's it. So when we talk about Ashura and Imam al-Hussein movement, the first thing that comes to our mind, Sayyid Mahdi, is battlefield, is bloodshed over there, and is fighting for your right. But does negotiation have any role and place in the Ashura movement and Husseini movement?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I mean, I think overall, if you look at a history of the infallible and immaculate Imams alayhim as-salam, Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei also has a book. I believe it's called The 250-Year-Old Human Being, or Insan
yes.
Divisto Panja Sale.
Yes.
I think there might be copies in English. It's a
yes.
very excellent book for people to read. And so here you find that in different eras, the need for different strategies, you know, is there. You need different strategies in different eras. And so you find that Imam Ali alayhi salam had a certain strategy, if you will. Of course, it's not.
So you mean by 250 human being is the whole period
yeah, so,
of the imamate of the Shia?
Right. So the 250
yes.
years is the imamate of the 12 imams
yes.
Up until the occultation.
Yes.
And so what we find is each one of the imams, they had different strategies, and of course these are not like man-made. You know, me
mm-hmm.
and you.
Mm-hmm.
And say it's sitting down and thinking about political strategies. These are divine strategies because they're divinely appointed, divine knowledge and all these things. So at different eras and different times, they have different strategies. At times, negotiation is there. And anyways, if you see the whole seerah and the lifetime of these all these imams, there are different strategies. So I guess the short answer is yes, sometimes sitting down and hearing what the other side has to say,
mm-hmm.
it plays a role. At the end of the day, though, what's important, what Sayyid also brought up, is this idea of wilaya this idea of the system of wilaya. And so even in the present day, if we are to sit down and negotiate with anybody, and as Sayyid Imam Mujtaba Khamenei said, negotiations does not mean submitting. Negotiations, the most simplest term is, okay, what do you have to say? You know, okay. We'll bother to listen to what you have to say, mm-hmm. and then we'll see what we want to do based upon our interests. So negotiations, of course, has a role to play. You find that even Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the Battle of Karbala, he was constantly advising the other side. He was constantly speaking to them. He was constantly explaining to them. Yes, the way that evil forces work is many times they don't listen, and it does end up in a physical military confrontation, as we see what is happening. But that should not prevent us.
We were attacked amidst two rounds of negotiations.
So that should not prevent us from at least putting forth words of advice and warning to the other side.
All right, that's it. And from Medina to Karbala, you know, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when you look at his speeches, you could find on different stations, you know, his words does not look like a kind of, we can't say, fighter or something like that. I mean, he seems to be always counseling the people, giving them pieces of advice, of negotiating, okay, up until the last moment of his life. He is after guiding the people to the right path. I think in today's behaviors, quote unquote, of Islamic Republic of Iran, you could see that. Okay, if it is war, we are men of war. If you want negotiation and you want peace, we are men of peace too, okay? But according to our Shahid Rahbar, we never shot a bullet against any country. In the last 47 years, we are not warmongers. We never initiated a war against any country. And what we only did was defending ourselves. So our wars were defensive wars, not the aggressive wars. And we were attacked in two rounds of negotiations. And
if that's what you mean by negotiations, that's not it.
That's not it, okay.
That's not the kind of negotiations that we would accept to have our leader being martyred.
Very martyred, that's right.
Not the negotiations.
So the resistance against is showing itself in the negotiation too, because sometimes you negotiate because you are bowing down onto your knees before your enemy, but sometimes from a powerful stance, you are going to face your enemy and you negotiate, and they will negotiate on your amendments and your terms.
True.
So the rights of the people of Islamic Republic of Iran seems to be manifested in the main discourse and the narrative of Islamic Republic of Iran, and in recent imposed war against Iran, this was the narrative that played a very important role over here, especially in the media and all across the world. So I think that Islamic Republic of Iran won the war of narratives too, Sayyid Modarrisi. What's your take on that?
Well, I think in the very beginning, yes, because the people saw that they were left something that their leader for more than 37 years had carried for them, they now saw that in the beginning that they understood that their rahbar and their leader has been martyred.
Yes.
They thought that the duty is upon them. Mm-hmm. So they took the responsibility back then. They did whatever they could in this path. They devised new ways and methods and strategies for this kind of preaching, for, if we can call it, this kind of propagation, if we can say. But they did whatever they could.
Yes.
Specifically in the different outlets and forms of media, they did the best. And they actually they did whatever they could, and they actually had their effects in different parts of the world.
Yes.
And that's why we saw many of the many million views, actually, by many of these podcasts, videocasts, and posters out in the world, in different media outlets that the enemy himself has devised. Mm-hmm. And that's how, because they understood that it is the duty is upon them. Mm-hmm. This jihad tabiyin, or this kind of jihad, it is upon them to bring explanation to the people.
Yes. Like what, for example, the explosive media team did through the Lego animations.
Lego animations.
Israel and other Iranian embassies, across the world did great work especially, and our national team at the World Cup with the lapel gold pin, 168, you know, remembering the 168 beautiful souls that we have lost during Ramadan war. But the Mina. First day of the school of Mina was attacked by Tomahawk missile three times, you know. The cameras were over there. I mean, these missiles are equipped with the cam, so they could see that the children are going taking refuge in the masjid of the madrasa school over there. That's right. From the school of Ashura to the school of Mina. I mean, exactly. The school here has two meanings. All right.
You know, if it's okay, I just wanted to add something about this, the negotiations aspect. Maybe I didn't bring it up, or anyways, it's something important. So here, the negotiations in any era should be under the guidance of the wali of the time or the spiritual authority of the time. So, you know, when Imam Ali alayhi salam did whatever he did, whether it was to not come outside of the house in a certain instance after the demise or the martyrdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or it was the negotiations or the ceasefire that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had, or standing up and rising up like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you see it all has to be done under the guidance of the wali. And in the present day, the system of Wulayatul Faqih continues that system of wulaya in the present day. And here too, if there are any negotiations that have to be done, and what needs to be done, what can be given, if we want to give anything, what should be taken, which surely we want to take, a lot of the things which are our right. You know, $300 billion is nothing. When you look at all of the emotional and psychological and physical damage that has been done to the Islamic Republic of Iran, $300 billion is nothing. But it all has to be done under the guidance and the framework of Imam Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei. This is what's incredibly important, because if we think that, you know, because sometimes it happens, you think school of Karbala and you think negotiations and Islam and Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and what ends up happening is something that happened in Safin, where the negotiations turned into a catastrophe.
That's right.
So unless it is done under the guidance of the Waliul Faqih, it will turn sour very quickly.
And how beautiful Imam Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei said that we can't say. He said that principally, or for example, presumably, I might not agree. I mean, on the terms over there, negotiations, because the enemy has always broke its promises. But some analysts have said that we could see the true democracy in Islamic Republic of Iran. The head of the society is going to agree on the negotiations because of the insistence of President of Islamic Republic of Iran being committed that something will happen. And he said that, inshallah, we'll see the fruits of this negotiation, the people, and the, we can't say, the whole system. But the same as Shahid Rahbar. I mean, at his time too, negotiations were going on. And he said that, go on and negotiate, but I am not optimistic about the enemy and the promises that he'll make. We could see that in two rounds of negotiations, they broke their promises. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mehdi and Sayyid Mudarrisi. We'll get back and to more modern manifestation of the Ashura School of Thought in today as well. Taking a break, dear listeners, you're listening to us live on iRibe English Radio on the sixth day of the month of Muharram.
You have instilled in our heart in a world where hopes disappear. You have ingrained in our soul in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart it reawake. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred breath. Light, you would radiate in the dark and you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new lands, offered them a helping hand with the little that you had. Your servants you did save, their full freedom you gave, but they loved you and stayed to meet your same cruel fate. Love you showed to all God's creation, from whichever place they came, they came. Love you showed to all God's creation, from whichever place they came. Care you expressed to all those you knew, loving animals the same. Your heart a nest of virtues, it housed wishes of the true. If only aggressors knew of your compassionate views. Each and every one saw steps you took against war, path of peace you looked for, but this Yazid ignored. Truth, that's what you wanted to defend against those whose souls were whole. Life, that's the sacrifice you would give to resurrect true Islam. Abraham, our blessed guide, covered his eyes from the sight of his son's pure sacrifice. Allah's wish he would abide, but Hussein had to see the pain and tragedy, the evil killing spree that took his family. War and aggression you did endure, even though conflict you shun. And torment then you had to face under the hot blazing sun. Abraham.
Welcome back. You're listening to us live on iRibe English Radio on the fixed day of the month of Muharram. A Muharram that has a different color in Islamic Republic of Iran. In the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, here and there all in the Islamic land of Iran, we could hear the name of Shahid Rahbar Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei and the posters, the pictures of different shuhada that we have lost during imposed war against Islamic Republic of Iran. Beautiful souls, schoolgirls and boys of Minab, teens, so many teens and so many youth that we have lost, both in the military forces and among our civilians, unfortunately. And this is the so-called modern civilization of today's world. A country that is amidst the negotiation is attacked. And we can't say lost is leadership. But alhamdulillah is going on. And what is the secret to this going on, and the survival of the Islamic system? This is my next question for Sayyid Mudarrisi. It seems that the same miscalculation that Yazid made in 61 AH is repeated by its, inheritors in today's world, the Epstein class. Again, they miscalculated that, for example, by killing this man or that man, they will kill Islamic system, or they will kill Husseini movement and the resistance in Islamic Republic of Iran. But no, it's going on and it is survived. So what's the secret?
So I think we can also answer this question by actually sticking to our main topic of this episode. I mean, the school of Ashura has many things for us to be learned from. Yes. And for example, the most tangible modern manifestation of the school of Ashura, and we also witnessed it during the different imposed wars, was this fact that actually the combatants of the school of Ashura, whether Iranian, non-Iranian, Muslims all over the world, they echoed and they actually tried to replicate the situation of Ashura here. What happened after Ashura was that the call for truth was actually heard by many people in the world, and no one actually stopped in that point.
Yes.
Because they understood what kind of atrocity has been done there.
Yes.
As you are mentioning repeatedly from the beginning of this yes. episode, the atrocities of Epstein class and what we see as killing and massacring children.
Yes.
You see, the children of Minab, these children, I do not know any kind of happening in the world mm-hmm. that many teens or less than them, children,
that's right.
that were studying as students yes. are killed and massacred together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have had many children being massacred as students, but not together, more yes. than 100 girls and boys.
For a while, government and school system like United States of America, this is new because they've got a school shooting every day here and there, you know. School shooting is nothing to their eyes. School bombing, okay? I said, we had enough school shooting
they
in our country.
They try to justify.
Yes, they try to justify. And this, you know, how can I call them? The white pig, you know, this yellow head has said that, come on, this is war. The war is nasty, you know. Okay.
Yeah, but
and that's
but
it.
What they do not understand, as you said, the same mistake that Yazid made, is this, that we see everybody who believes in Ashura sees Ashura as a catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point.
Yes.
We name our military divisions, we name our military objectives as the names of our martyrs, as
yes.
the names of our things that are related to these sacred events.
Yes.
And this means that we take Ashura as a catalyst for mm-hmm. every step of the way we take.
That's it. Okay. Usually the sixth day of the month of Muharram is attributed to Hazrat Qasim, you know, son of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, who got martyred in the battlefield in Karbala, 61 AH. He was 16 years old, some say maybe younger. And, you know, this day and today is very much felt by the families who have lost their children during the Ramadan war. In the holy city of Qom, there was a kid, 3-year-old, I think, Shahid Hussein Ajili, 3-year-old kid boy who lost, you know, and the families have lost their daughter just 1 year before that because she was sick. And now they lost their second child in a war. And see how much psychological trauma will be in the spirits of the families, the parents over there. All right. So, this young generation is still going on, Sayyid. You know, in the gatherings, in the crowds, you could see in the cities that the young children are over there waving the flag of Islamic Republic of Iran, talking about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And this year, the flags of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and Islamic Republic of Iran are in the sky, in the air, together, okay? Waving. This
yeah,
is beautiful.
Alhamdulillah, it's a very good sign. You know, so we are here in the holy city of Qom, and for the last, I think, 110 plus days,
yes.
every single night, we have seen with our own eyes these thousands of people that come out into the streets and the squares and are out there supporting Imam Mujtaba Khamenei, the
yes.
Waliul Faqih, and supporting the Islamic system of Wilayatul Faqih and the Islamic Republic as a system. And there's a lot of youth out there, alhamdulillah. And we see these youth that are out there. It's interesting and unfortunate. Sometimes we have people really degrade the youth of the Islamic Republic of Iran. When Shahid Rahbar, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he always had a lot of hope in the youth, and he always valued the youth. And,
yes.
and he used to say that our youth are better, if not just as good as the youth of the Sacred Defense era.
Mm-hmm.
Believe at that time. I mean,
exactly,
me as
yeah.
well. I mean, I didn't
yeah, a lot
believe
of people,
deep
yeah.
from the depth of my heart that this was something.
Yeah, and then now we see that
yes.
all these youth are standing
okay.
up and coming to the forefront. I just really, maybe quickly, if I have a minute
okay.
or two, this whole idea of the Epstein class. The Epstein class is a very small microcosm of a much bigger problem, which is the political, economic, and cultural systems that are non-divine or man-made systems of the world. These systems are what are really the problem. When you see Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he wasn't necessarily standing up to just, you know, one individual Yazid. It was really the system of Taghut that he was standing up to. It was a whole political and economic system which was being pushed forth, and it didn't start with Yazid. It has historical backgrounds on where this started amongst the history of Islam, where these political and economic, non-divine system started, but it reached a peak and a culmination with Yazid. Mm-hmm. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam was standing up against a whole system, and even now in the present day, I think we should not leave the overall political, economic, and cultural Taghuti systems off the hook, yes, and just blame, you know, one Epstein class. Yes, the Epstein class is part of that,
yes,
but it's a much bigger global problem.
That's it. The sixth day of the Muharram is also known as the day the water was cut off to the caravan of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the siege motive, we call it, you know, in the modern context. It directs, you know, a direct parallel to the siege imposed on the Gaza and cutting off the water and the food, you know, over there. The same story is going on, Sayyid Mudarrisi. I mean, so you could see that this satanic narrative is going on. From the other side, divine narrative of Husseini movement is also continuing its path even to today. So nothing has changed, because some people have called, okay, so the people are more civilized now, and these new civilizations may value more,
yeah, exactly,
humanity.
There are some people in the world who just go around and say, okay, this is the era of talk, this is the era of intelligence and mind. We can solve everything through mind and talking and intelligence and negotiations.
Okay.
But what you see going on in the world is just this language of power, nothing else.
Yes. Savagery.
Yes.
Savagery, that's right.
Except brutality. You can see nothing more. I don't know why these people, how do they live by believing in such, I don't have the word to say, but
yes.
But how is it that they believe that in this world we are, as you said, very civilized world. We can just talk everything out. We can solve everything through talking and negotiations. But how can they answer these catastrophes that we are seeing in the world?
And these people are the enemies of religion. I mean, for example, disrespecting the monks, disrespecting
the
sculpture of Mary, a sculpture of Jesus Christ, you know, the nuns that was walking on the street and suddenly was attacked, you know, by a Jew. You know, you could see that all this Zionist power, steam class thing is over there, here and there. They're anti-religion, you know. And as
and sometimes they try to use better names for
better
themselves.
Names
they
for
say, this, our religion is humanity. Humanity is our religion.
Okay. Funny.
Yeah.
Humanity.
So funny.
Okay.
You see, humanity?
That's right.
If this is the humanity, I mean, we have seen the results of being humans up to now. I mean, how many world wars we have, how many millions of lives
In a speech about 40, I think. Yeah, so 40 years ago, or maybe more than that, okay? So the late Imam Khomeini made a prediction about Israel, that Israel will not limit itself to Palestine. If it gets one by one to the other countries, it'll get to Iraq, it'll get to Syria, even Islamic Republic of Iran. So he knew already that they have this bigger plan of the Israel in their mind. So, I mean, these ties, the Abraham Accords, they call it, normalization of the ties between themselves and the Arab countries, UAEA, what a disgrace for this country. Let's name it. What a disgrace and what a shame for a so-called Islamic land to put hand in hand with the people of and the nation of the Zionism, of killing the Muslims, not only in the region, but, for example, in African country like Sudan, you know? Now everybody knows that. And again, against Islamic Republic of Iran, too. But this time, a hard blow, a hard answer from Islamic Republic of Iran. So for both the people of Gaza and, you know, the resistance movement. So, Sayyid Mehdi, we have hope in the young generation. We have hope in this resistance? And how do you think that this war has changed the look at Islamic Republic of Iran all across the world?
You know, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it has shown the Islamic Republic in a very positive note. One of the good outcomes of this war is the public image that the Islamic Republic has now in the eyes of the world and the people. And that is, of course, of a underdog. So in boxing terminology...
Don't you think that from now on they will call Iran a terrorist?
No, I don't think they will. I think the
they know the
propaganda machine has tried very hard to still portray the Islamic Republic as a terrorist or a rogue regime. But I think somehow, you know, whether it's the divine hand of the Almighty Allah, but they have not been able to succeed as they used to in previous decades. They were very good at making Iran look bad, at making the system look bad, making Muslims look bad in general. But there seems to have been a shift after Alexa Storm in Palestine, where they're not able to do it the way that they used to before. Yes. But now, I think across the world, the Islamic Republic is seen as this underdog, and in boxing terminology, the underdog is the one who is not expected to win.
That's it.
So when the underdog does win, it's a big deal. Everybody's happy that the oppressed masses, because in reality, Islamic Republic is representing the oppressed masses of the world in the present day. Now that they are winning, people are really happy and people are supportive. Mm-hmm. And you even see flags of Iran in various different American and European countries.
Yes.
We really have never seen that before, you know, where people have come out with a flag of Palestine on one hand and a flag of the Islamic Republic on the other. So it's a good, positive public image that we see.
Also, the Persian-Iranian diaspora out of Islamic Republic of Iran are now divided into many groups, okay? Because some of them before that were criticizing Islamic Republic of Iran, the system, you know, and the system that is for 47 under sanctions, for all this economic pressure, you know, on the people. These are the realities, the high prices, inflation, and we can say all these economic problems that we face because of the sanctions, and some part because of the mismanagements of some of the administrations inside Islamic Republic of Iran. But now, alhamdulillah, you could see that even the people living outside Iran who might not still be on good terms with the Islamic part of Islamic Republic of Iran, but in good terms with the Republic part of Islamic Republic of Iran, or the Iranian part, have understood that the enemy of Islamic Republic of Iran is the enemy of Iran in general. So they are after disintegration of Islamic Republic of Iran. This is their plan in order to divide Iran into different regions and be after their, we can say, natural resources. They wanted to have this, we can say, Syrian scenario, then the Venezuela surround, the Vietnam surround, and in none of them they have been successful. And the role that the people have today in current Islamic Republic of Iran is really important, Sayyid Modarrisi. So how do you find it? I mean, the crowds and the gatherings are still going on. I mean, negotiations without the support of the people in the field of resistance has no meaning to me. What about you?
Well, that's exactly as you said. I think the people are the ones who have to actually support whatever is going on.
Yes.
And they are the ones who are giving energy. They are the ones who are enduring under siege. I mean, you said a couple of minutes ago that we have had the siege back in those days at that time when Imam Hussein was fighting, and we are having siege right now as well.
Yes.
I mean, the severe arms and economic sanctions imposed during the war, during all these wars that we have had and many Muslim fronts have had, exactly mirrored the blockade of Furat in Karbala.
Yes.
So now the combatants are the very people. The streets are the battlefield, and the people are the combatants. They are fighting, and they're drawing strength from the remembrance of that thirst in that time.
Yes.
They have to endure this fight, and what the actually
top-notch. Mm-hmm. What the leaders have to do in this situation is that let people know that this materialistic thought and this materialistic calculation is not something to go over the decisions made by wilaya, mm-hmm. to go over to actually pass the decisions that are based on the principles of the Almighty Allah, based on the sunan mm-hmm. of the Almighty Allah.
All right, that's it. Thank you, Sayyid Madarisi. Sayyid Mehdi, we still got about, Mr. Producer, Mr. Ansari. Yes, it's live edition, 6 minutes. Brother Ali Hosseinian, the producer assistant, is also over there. Thank the team over here on iRab English Radio for covering the live editions in the month of Muharram. Really, I'm happy to have such a good team at iRab English Radio in the holy city of Qom. So, still going on, and this month of Muharram, let's talk a little bit, Sayyid Mehdi, about this month of Muharram in Islamic Republic of Iran. More than 5-6 sessions and majalis have passed. So, how do you find it? Did you find it different this year? I mean, with the loss of the Rahmah.
Yeah, of course. I think everywhere, along with the mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is a renewed energy and a renewed fire, if you will, as the tradition says, that there is a fire in the hearts of the believers, yes. or of the believers for Imam Hussein alayhi salam that will never cool down. It just seems that the martyrdom of Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei, yes. and all of the very auspicious and very blessed commanders that have been martyred, and these small children, they were elementary school children,
yes.
That have been martyred. All of this has added fire to that fire that was already there for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Any favorite martyr?
Backfire very badly in the face of the enemies of humanity, whether it's America or Israel, collective West in general.
All right.
Just as the fire of Imam Hussein alayhi salam backfired against Yazid in that time, and the eternal divine victory is with the people of truth.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, may that be the Islamic Republic of Iran.
I have one personal question for you. Any favorite martyr of mine, the recent martyrs you were very much influenced by, except Shahid Rahbar?
We were all
influenced by him.
I don't know. It's interesting. Many of the shuhada, I didn't really know enough about them. Uh-huh. But it's interesting, whenever I saw, you know, one of these martyrs fall, I felt a connection with them. Mm-hmm. What really disturbed me and still really disturbs me, it was very traumatic for me, was the elementary school children of Minab.
Yes.
I think that was something that was incredibly difficult. And I still can't, like, look at the videos of the children or their parents.
I was in Minab a week ago.
Okay.
What I saw there, back there, was really unbelievable. I mean, the scenes.
Still gloomy, still grief.
The families.
Yeah, the families.
The families are spending more than 10 hours each day beside their children. And one important thing is that many of them even were the parents being martyred. They had gone after their children after they saw, after they heard the first bombing.
Yes.
And they had gone after their children. The news were heard that the schools are off.
Yes.
They had gone after the children, and many of their martyrs were the parents and actually the staff there mm-hmm. that actually were martyred. This is something else. But even in that weather, under the sunshine that actually is unbearable in that weather, the families spend more than 10 hours, more than maybe 15 hours beside the graves of their children. And that was a catastrophic scene.
That's it. And Shahid Makan Nasiri.
Makan, yes.
Nasiri. Yeah, the boy that was missed. And unfortunately, he is still missed. You know, his body was missed.
You see, it's not a very big part. It is rather a small part. And
yes.
they do not have that much utility to actually dig the ground. You know who was digging the ground? The parents themselves.
Yes.
The families themselves were digging the grounds. They had no one else. They had only one station, and they didn't have that much utility back there. So
that's it.
They were themselves who were gathering the different parts and organs of the babies and the bodies of the yes. children back there. So something very strange. And it seems to me, it seems to me, linking it to the Ashura
yes.
School of thought, sometimes we say that the martyrs that are not that old, I mean, like Ali Asghar, yeah. They can solve great things with their small hands. Mm-hmm. And I can say yeah. that what God, what the Almighty God has seen in this part is going to be seen that something big in the world will be solved with the small hands of the children of Minab, inshallah.
Very beautiful. Very beautiful. That's it. And inshallah, the beautiful souls of the schoolgirls and boys of the Minab and all the kids, the infants, the kids, babies, newlyweds, you know, eight pregnant mothers mm-hmm. that lost their lives and their babies during the Ramadan war. Inshallah, these beautiful souls will help Islamic Republic of Iran becoming victorious as always, and the true blood of these shuhada and the resistance movement all across the world. And we should not forget the people of Lebanon too.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
The people of Lebanon and the kids over there, the people of Lebanon and Palestine, Yemen, Iraq, you know, here and there, all this resistance movement all across the world, this shuhada whose blood, you know, will water, inshallah, the tree of resistance and the power and pave the way, inshallah, for the reappearance of Imam As. And we will see the true justice on that time, hand in hand with Imam Al-Mahdi Jalallah, the beautiful schoolgirls and boys of the Minab over
inshallah.
There on that day,
we can say, Allahumma ansur juyush al-muslimina wa asakir al-muwahideen.
Inshallah. That's right. Thank you, Sayyid Mudarrisi. Sayyid Mahdi, thank you very much for your presence in this live edition on the sixth day of the month of Muharram. Again, we extend our sincerest condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram, the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the great loss of our leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and along with the military commanders and civilians all across Islamic Republic of Iran. Do not forget us in the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam you attend during these nights and days. Do not forget us in your supplications and du'as. To another episode, another live edition on iRib English Radio with me, Atta, the host. Thank you very much. Fi amanallah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Aba Abdullah.
sign when she was in pain. She told me of the tale on a sword that befell. The arrow that flew, his neck it went through. I wonder at the man who did not understand. Why did they not proclaim the fake sign? Alone after all were gone. Abbas he was no more, and those who went to war, never did they come Shaheed they did become. A lonely brave heart made me call her for